so much, everybody, for coming out. And we have some visitors, and that's always appreciated. But it's truly been a pleasure. Thank you so much for inviting me. I want to thank the elders for asking me to come. There's lots of people you can have, and in the past, you've had some really great speakers. And to think that you thought about me to invite me, and I really appreciate that. And again, thank you so much for your attendance. We've had crowds. A lot of times the meeting always has a big crowd on a Sunday morning, and then it kind of dwindles a lot of times because people don't have as many visitors and so forth. But I think some of the nights we've had, Sunday night was just a great crowd here. Each night tonight is a big crowd. So thank you. So many of you have come and said so many nice things. You'd be surprised. You think every place you go, everybody's friendly, but they're not. But here, everybody, from the young to the younger, you see, I didn't say the old, no old ones here. From the young to the younger, you're friendly, and it's really been encouraging to me. So again, thank you so much, and for the singing, your singing is great. No wonder y'all have singings here. You really sing with your heart. We talked about that last night, and you really do. And again, thank you for all the meals that you've provided and the times you've taken me. I want you to know that I'm glad y'all eat like me. And a lot of places, they don't eat the same. When I first started preaching, Brother James Cope said, Paul, you're going to hold meetings as you get on. He said, and people are going to have you over to eat. I said, in your house? He said, yes, you'll like it. I said, oh, great. So it was one of my first meetings. I went to this house. It was a Friday, Saturday, Sunday meeting. And so when I got there, I didn't know anyone in the house. There was 15 people at the table. And all the food was in little bowls. Like this, you got about one green bean. It wasn't like Athens. You got about one piece of corn. And so you passed them around, and every time I got to eat, the man of the house was sitting right there. And every time I got ready to eat, I looked at him and he went, man, I hadn't even preached yet, and he didn't like me. And Brother Cope told me every time people would have me over, it'd be fun. So I kept on eating, and every time I looked at him, he'd go, I said, man. So finally, I get to the end of the meal, and all I have left is my salad. So I moved my salad bowl, put it on my plate, and I'm finishing my salad. And I looked around the table, and I said to myself, isn't this nice? I'm the only one they gave a salad to. And then it dawned on me. I was supposed to pass it. What do you get? One little leaf. It was only this big. And honest, he was mad at me, you see. Because I remember there's about four or five different salad dressings, and I remember getting the Italian and shaking on. He goes, he's messing the salad up. He was mad at me. I didn't pass it, but it was only this big. I thought it was for me. And my throat just stopped. I couldn't swallow, but I had to keep putting food in there. So ever since my first meeting, gospel meeting dinner, I watch how people eat. If you're throwing up green beans, I'm throwing up green beans. If you're eating with your hands, I'm eating with my hands. But luckily, y'all eat the same way I do. And so, again, thank you so much for all the meals that you gave to me. And also to be with David and Buck. Those are two good guys. And they're good preachers. And again, to have two guys like that. A lot of congregations would like to just have one. And for you all to have two, it's truly a blessing. And I know how much they appreciate being here with y'all. But it's truly a blessing for you to have two great guys and two young guys. They want me to make sure I said, what else did y'all want me to say? How good looking you are and how nice they are. That's right. And their wives really help them. That's all they asked me to say. But you really are blessed to have those two guys. And I know you know it. And for Reagan to be baptized. I can't see Reagan. Where is she? Did she move? Yes, she did. Don't be moving. You're supposed to be in the middle. I won't see you over there. That's really a blessing. And you never know in the audience each night who might be touched by the gospel. So we just keep preaching. And again, you can become a Christian any hour. The invitation at the end of a sermon is a convenient time for somebody. But a lot of times people just wait till they get home. Sometimes after the crowd gets a little smaller. Sometimes in the middle of the night. And you get the opportunity to put on the Lord. So we're truly thankful for that. If you're ever up in Killen. Now Killen's just 30 minutes up the road. The Brook Hill Church is just past the new miniature golf place they have across from Brooks High School. Come and see us, and we'd love to have you visit with us sometimes when you're in that area. Okay, please stand now for the reading. It's Proverbs 6, starting in verse 6. Proverbs chapter 6, starting in verse 6. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Proverbs 6, verse 6. consider her ways and be wise, which having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. And the congregation said, amen and amen. Please be seated. You know, nothing is better than real cream from fresh milk. There's the old saying, the cream comes to the top. Delicious food and drink that has cream in it. Sour cream improves a baked potato. Cream cheese improves a cracker. Whipped cream improves strawberries. Cream improves coffee. You see, everybody wants the cream. The problem is nobody wants to milk the cow. Cream just doesn't appear. You just can't grow it. Cows don't just give it to you. It's gained through a lot of hard work. Working on a farm is hard. Now, I grew up in a big city. My city is 4 million people. More people live in my city than the whole state of Alabama and Canada. People think Canadians live in the middle of nowhere. My city has more people, Toronto does, than the whole state of Alabama. And I grew up in a city with streetcars and subways and so forth. I'm one of those guys that you probably used to see in the movies or people come visit you. When I would be sometimes out in the country, I'm one of those guys who would roll down his window and see a cow and go, moo. I hadn't seen any cows. Never been on a farm till my second year in college. And after I became a Christian, one of the girls who owned a farm, her family owned a farm, she said, Paul, you know, would you like to work Saturday morning? First question a college student says, how much am I going to get paid? She said, $20. I said, $20. Now the next question, how long do I have to work? She said, probably an hour. Being the mathematician I was, that's $20 an hour. I said, is it legal and moral? She said, yes. Show up at the barn at 7 o'clock Saturday morning. I said, 7 o'clock on a Saturday morning? But for $20, I'm going to do it. I showed up. I'm walking through the field to get to the barn, and it's dew all over the place. My running shoes are getting dew all over them. And there's a girl waiting for me, happy to be up at 7. This farm girl got her overalls on. And she says, hi, Paul, how you doing? I'm okay. I was thinking in my mind, make sure you got your $20, you know. Here's what she says. She says, follow me, grab the shovel. I said to myself, I don't see any snow. What do I need a shovel for? I had a shovel all the time growing up, and I've, you know. So I said, well, I'll follow her. Here I go. First time, I walk into this barn. Never been in a barn. I go in. There's a nice little room with a horse. I touched a horse. Never touched a horse. Go down a little farther. There's a horse in its little room. I go to the next one. There's no horse, but there's a lot of stuff down there. She said, there's a bucket. Start shoveling. I said, shoveling this? She said, yes. I went, oh, man. So I started shoveling, and I called my mother. My mother was from England, and she always liked me to tell her what it was like down in the United States. So I called my mom. I said, Mom, you won't believe what I did today. She said, what'd you do? I said, I cleaned out a horse stall. And she said, how did you do it? I said, Mom, if you don't die in the first 5 minutes, you can do it. I was shoveling, running outside. And then I'd do it. That was my introduction to farm work. Ever since then, if the farmers want 5 cents more for lettuce, I'm giving it to them. If they want a nickel more for milk, I'm not arguing. And we have some farmers I know in the audience today. That's a hard job to be a farmer. It takes a lot of work to be a farmer. And I tell you what, it takes a lot of work to get the cream so we can have the luxuries that we put on certain kinds of foods to make them better. Listen now. Everybody has goals and we have dreams that we hope to achieve, that we want to see in our life. The problem is, it takes a lot of hard work to have them. And if you're going to reach the goal, you're going to have to get the cream in your life. And tonight, the question for all of us is, are you willing to milk the cow? Are you willing to work hard? Go the extra mile so you can have a home in heaven. Heaven's going to be a place of people who wanted the cream, and they worked hard to get it. We live in a world today where everybody wants all the privileges and pleasures, but they don't want to work. Do you remember? It started with TV dinners. From TV dinners, it went to microwave dinners. From microwave dinners, it went to eating out. We don't even have time. It's too hard to cook now. We used to go to the movies. Now the movies come to us on television. We think we should have all the luxuries. When a young couple gets married, they leave their house. And they think when they get married, they ought to leave their house and go to a house that's just like the one that took their mom and daddy 20 and 30 years to have. Am I right? It is. It is. One time this young couple was getting married. And I'd baptized them. And you know how they register at a store. And they wanted, so I knew them pretty well. So I said, you know what? I'm going to get them a place setting, you know, a place setting. So we went in. This is 25, 30 years ago. Went in, and to the store they registered. I said, I want to get such and such a place setting. They had how many they wanted, 8, 10, or 12. I said, I want to get them a place setting. And the lady said, that'll be $200. I said, no, not the whole table. I said, just one place setting. They said, one place, that's like, a plate, a cup, knife and a fork. $200. I told that story one time, this old couple came up and they said, Brother Paul, when we got married, everything we owned didn't add up to $200. And I said, look, I like these people, not that much. I said, I tell you what, how about a plate? How much is a plate? $85. I got them a spoon. That's all they need, just a spoon. That's the way it is. The problem is, that's what they learn, and they want everything. They want the cream, but they don't want to work. And we all need to realize that's not how success comes. There might be instant potatoes, but there's no instant success. You have to work for it. Look at Proverbs 13 and 4. Proverbs 13 and 4. If we're going to have the cream in our life in a spiritual way, we're going to have to work hard. And even in the physical world, you're going to have to work hard. Look at Proverbs 13 and verse 4. The soul of a lazy man desires, Proverbs 13, 4, but he has nothing. The soul of the diligent shall be made rich. The lazy man, well, everybody wants, but he doesn't do anything. And he gets nothing. But the diligent, the hard worker, he wants, and he's made rich. Look what it says in Proverbs 10, verse 4. Proverbs 10 and in verse 4. Proverbs 10 and verse 4. He who has a slick hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. I came across this interesting statement. This was on the employee's wall in a Detroit business office. This is what it said. Employees in the Detroit business office found the following notice on their bulletin board. The management regrets that it has come to their attention that workers dying on the job are failing to fall down. This practice must stop, as it becomes impossible to distinguish between death and the natural movement of the staff. Any employee found dead in an upright position will be dropped from the payroll. People don't want to do anything. They're lazy, but they want all the cream in a physical way. And God teaches us throughout the Bible that as you provide and for your family and your work and all those physical things, but most importantly, spiritual, you're going to have to work. To enjoy the cream of life physically and spiritually, you're going to have to work hard. And heaven's going to be made up of people who wanted the cream and they worked hard to achieve it. The entertainment world, their advice is success is easy to achieve. They have products. Drink this and you'll be skinny. Put this makeup on, you'll be pretty. Wear this and you'll be successful. All these kind of things. But look at Galatians 6. The world tells us it's easy to get the cream. Even some religious groups tell us you don't have to do much. Just do a little bit, and you can still have a home in heaven. Look at Galatians 6, and in verse 7 and 8. Galatians 6, 7 and 8. Let him who was taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Verse 8, Galatians 6, verse 7. Don't be deceived. God isn't mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he'll also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Don't be deceived. If you're lazy, you're not going to get the cream. If you work hard, you can have that home in heaven. And that's one I'm reading a little while ago from Proverbs about the ant. The ant doesn't have. There's no, you know, the bees maybe have in their colony, they have the queen bee. Ants don't have a queen ant or a king ant. Ants, now I don't know how they know this. Some guy spent his whole life watching ants, I guess. But the understanding is they don't have a leader. Every ant works on its own. And they do all they can. Do you see the ants in the summer, in the wintertime? No. They're down low. They've provided for themselves all they need. And sometimes when you see an ant, sometimes you'll see them and they're carrying something that's two or three times their weight. They're not lazy. That's why he says, consider the ant. He doesn't have a boss telling them what to do, but he works hard so that he'll have something. And that's what the Lord wants us to do. The world will tell you it's easy, but it's not. To have a loving mate, a loving family, a good job, to be a servant of the Lord in a home in heaven, you're going to have to work hard. If you want the cream, you're going to have to milk the cow. Don't be afraid to fail. I came across a list of people with regards to people who reached the cream. But along the way, they failed. They failed along the way. Listen to this. You failed many times, although you may not remember. You fell down the first time you tried to walk. You almost drowned the first time you tried to swim, didn't you? Did you hit the ball the first time you swung a bat? Heavy hitters, the one who hit the most home runs, strike out a lot. R.H. Macy from the department store. He failed 7 times before a store in New York caught on. Novelist, English novelist, John Creasy, got 753 rejection slips before he published 564 books. Babe Ruth struck out 1,330 times before he hit 714 home runs. We all fall short, but heaven's going to be made up of people who what? Who fell down, but they got up and still kept trying to reach the cream. Do you want the cream? You can have it. In our jobs now. Do you want a good paying job? The Lord wants us to be good workers. That's a good place for us to let our light shine. And you want a good, secure, and well-paying job? Well, there's some certain things you do, of course. You try to go to college. It's been shown that a college graduate makes twice as much as a non-college graduate. So those are some physical things. But look what it says in Ephesians 6. Here's how Christians work. Here's how we work. Ephesians 6 and in verse 5. Ephesians 6 and in verse 5. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and sincerity of heart, as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Be obedient to your bosses, and be a good worker. And don't just work when the boss is looking, you work all the time. And if you'll do that with God's help, God watching you and taking care of you, he knows what you're trying to do, you'll be successful. You serve the Lord, and you'll be there, and you'll have enough income to be able to take care of the things you need. Young people, to ask a young person, what do you want to do for a living? They don't know. I said, well, what do you want to do? What kind of job do you want? I want one where I don't have to work very much and I get paid a lot of money. I would say, if you get that job, I want you to hire me. But it's not like that. You're going to have to work. Start your way up. One of the members of the church when I preached in Tampa, Florida, his name was Andy Anderson. I did Andy's funeral many, many years ago. Andy, when he was a teenager, he went to the local car lot. And he asked them, could they get a job? He's about 13 or 14 to help his family out. He got a job, you know, back in the 50s, 60s, washing the cars. He got like 5 cents or something, and he washed the cars. And as time went on, it was a big lot and sold different cars, you know. And as time went on, he got a job vacuuming out the cars, and then he moved up a little bit to working on some of the cars and changing the tires and doing the oil. And then they had a used car section, and Andy started working in the used car section. Then he moved to the new car section. When Andy Anderson died around 1985, he was the number one salesman of Mercedes-Benz in the United States. One time I called him and I said, what are you doing? He called me in the morning, 10 o'clock Saturday morning. I said, He said, what are you doing? I said, I don't know. What are you doing? He said, I just sold 3 Mercedes. It wasn't even 10 o'clock Saturday morning. He was number one salesman. What did he start off doing? Washing the cars. And that's what you're going to have to do to have a good job. And we're servants of the Lord, and we don't want to have to take care of it. Sometimes we're going to have to get some help. Even from the government, that's okay. And from the brothers and sisters. But if we don't want to have to, even our family, how are we going to do that? We want the cream. We want a good job to provide our family and be able to help the Lord's cause. You're going to have to work hard. Work hard, find your job, and move your way. I remember some of the jobs I've had. I had a job once when I was in college. I picked rocks off the football field. You know what we do with the rocks? We threw them on the other football field. I promise, when we finished this field, we went to the back, here we go, throw them back over here. I've had all kinds of jobs, and that's just what you have. To be a success, to have a cream in a physical way, in a job, you're going to have to work hard. In your family life, you want a good marriage, a loving and obedient children, you got to start working at it. It's not easy to be married. You have two different people, two different backgrounds, different likes, dislikes. I like young couples say this, we never argue. I say, what do y'all live in, two different houses? You never argue. Yes, you're going to argue. Yes, you're going to have some difficulties. It's difficult to have a happy marriage. It's difficult to have the cream. It doesn't say you can't, but you can have it. Look at Ephesians 5:22. Here's what the Lord says to do. Ephesians 5:22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Submit. Oh, that's difficult for some women. But to have the cream, you're going to have to do that. And then in 5:25, husbands, you love your wives just as Christ loved the church. And sometimes a man will say, but I don't love my wife anymore. What should I do? I'll tell you what you ought to do. You better repent and love your wife. Oh, that's what it says to do. But that's hard. It's difficult. Husbands and wives, they think different. Did you know that women say up to 4,000 words a day? Men say 2,000. Don't get mad at me. That's just what they say. 4,000. So when the husband comes home from work, he's used up all his words. And when he comes in the door, she says, how you doing? All he's got left is, That's all he's got. She's got 2,000 left, and she keeps talking. She gets mad at him. But he's got no more words left. He's used them all. She gets mad. He doesn't want to talk. He gets mad because she wants to talk. But men and women are different. You got to get used to that. And then the husband comes home and says, hi, dear. How you doing? I'm okay. He says, you sure you don't sound all right? I'm okay. Are you sure you're okay? Because I'm going outside for a little bit. Are you sure you're okay? I'm okay. So he leaves. What he doesn't know is okay means she's not okay. Am I right? That's the way it is. So what does the guy do? A lot of times wives get mad at their husbands because they think the husband's trying to mess up the family plan. I'm here to tell you, husbands don't even know there's a plan. They're just trying to do the best they can. And now you have these two lives and you're trying to get them together. It's hard. It's hard to be. And that's why young people say they want to get married. When they come to me when they're young and they're 20, I think you got to be about 40 to get married. That's a whole other lesson. But when you're 20 and you get married, I would say, what do you want to get married for? Who said it's so good? I scared the pants off them. Why? She said, well, I love them. I love lots of people. I wouldn't marry them. Why do you want to get married? Think about what you're doing and all that, because it's difficult. It's difficult. Now, can you have cream? You sure can, but you're going to have to work on it. You have to work on it. You know, then comes to be a parent. Look at Ephesians 6. Children, you need to obey your parents in the Lord. This is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in training and admonition of the Lord. There was a father once, he had one child and began to give lectures about parenting. And his lecture was titled, 10 Rules for Parenting. Then he had a second child. The new title was 10 Suggestions for Parenting. When he had a third child, it was 5 Suggestions for Parenting. When he had a fourth child, he stopped lecturing. It's hard. It's hard to be a parent. To try to teach him and raise him. The world says do this. The Lord says do this. The Lord says you discipline them like this. The world says you discipline them like this. It's hard to be a parent. My motto's always been, hate me now, you'll love me later. And that's the way it is. If you're a parent and you haven't been told, I hate you by your kids, you've probably been pretty light to them. Because they're going to say that. And that's okay. It's hard to be a parent. When Mariah, who's 33 now, when she first was born, back then, that was about the time when some daddies started changing diapers. Up to then, daddies didn't even know what a diaper looked like. And we started changing diapers. And I remember my baby was there, and all my friends were over at the house one day. And they said, oh, Paul, I think your baby did something. And I said, that's okay, I'll change it. And they said, you're going to change it? And they said, I got to see this. So there I went. I picked up my baby. First time I think I've ever done it. Put her down on the changing table. Put my gloves and mask on. Got everything ready, all the bottles and junk that you used to have then. I opened up the diaper. It was a number 10. I never seen anything like it in my life. Then I just started going, help, help. And the ladies came in and helped me. And I said, and I thought it was so easy, just a diaper. It's not easy. But you can have the cream if you'll be the husband that the Lord wants you to be. And be the wife the Lord wants you to be, and be the mother and the father. But it takes a lot of hard work. How about being a Christian? That's difficult. Paul tells Timothy, you're going to have to endure hardships. It's not easy to be a Christian. Sometimes you're the only one in your family. Sometimes you're in a little congregation, like I told about in Wyoming and different places. There's only a handful of people. Why is it so difficult? Because the devil, like a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. It's hard. We're not just going against somebody that's not very good. The devil's good. He's good at what he does. He doesn't want us to have the cream. So he doesn't want us to become a Christian. He didn't want Reagan to become a Christian. Did all he could to stop her from becoming a Christian. But he lost. Give me an amen. But you know what? I tell you, you need to know this. He's not going to give up. He's going to try extra hard now, isn't he? He's going to try extra hard. She said, I want the cream. And he's going to do extra hard. That's what he does. Who can he devour? But you know what? We fight the good fight. How? By whether you eat, sleep, or drink, whatsoever you do all to the glory of God. That's what we try to do. Nobody is born a Christian. You've got to decide. You've got to say, I want to be a servant of God. Even if your parents think something different, if your friends, if it's something that's totally different than you've ever, you decide. When they said on the day of Pentecost, what should we do? They were told to repent and be baptized as believers. Only 3,000 people, probably some say as many as 100,000 were there. 3% said, yes, I want the cream. And then you have to stay faithful. Look at 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter 1, then you have to stay faithful. And not only stay faithful, you've got to add. And again, this is the cream. Well, I'm saved, now I'm okay. No, now you got to work hard. Look at 2 Timothy 1, verse 5. And for this very reason, I want you to give all diligence. I want you to add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness, love. If these things are yours and abound, you'll be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus. If you have those things, you'll have the cream. But if you lack these things, you're short-sighted, even blindness, and has forgotten what has cleansed you from your old sin. You won't get the cream, and it's hard work. The problem for all of us is we have to continue to fight that good fight. But it's hard to be a good Christian these days with the internet and television and all the worldly activities going on. in schools, at work, even government. America sometimes is a strange place. I came across what it's like to live in America. Here's some strange things in America. Only in America can a pizza get to your house before an ambulance. Only in America are there handicapped parking places in front of the skating rink. Only in America do drugstores make the sick walk all the way to the back of the store to get their prescriptions while healthy people buy cigarettes at the front. Only in America do people order double cheeseburgers, large fries, and a Diet Coke. Only in America do banks leave their both doors open and then they chain their pens to the counters. Only in America do we leave cars worth thousands of dollars in the driveway and put useless junk in the garage. Only in America do you buy hot dogs in packages of 10 and the buns in packages of 8. America's kind of a strange place, isn't it? Our job isn't to try to understand America. It's not. We're never going to understand it because it's run by the world. Our job is to understand what the Bible says. And if you'll understand what the Bible says and do what it says, you can have the cream that'll lead to a home in heaven. Look at Ephesians 3:4. That's what it says. You can understand this book. You can't understand America, but you can understand this book. Ephesians 3 and in verse 4. It says in Ephesians 3 and verse 4, by which when you read, you can understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. You can understand it. You can have a good mate, a good parent. You can be a good parent, a good working, a good neighbor, a faithful Christian. You can have the cream spiritually, but it takes hard work. It takes hard work. And you know what? Even local churches need to understand this principle. Local churches want to have the cream. They want a congregation that's growing spiritually. They want a congregation that's growing physically. But to do that, it takes hard work. People aren't just going to come and just stay here. They're going to come and visit with us, and they're going to stay because they say, I'm looking for the cream. Does this congregation have a cream? There's some churches are dead. They're not achieving the cream. And that's why they're slowly dying out. No one wants to go there, and those that are there aren't growing. It takes everybody in a congregation to participate, not just the preachers, not just the elders. It takes everybody singing, everybody being friendly. Bible class teachers, it takes some Bible study to learn. And I appreciate so much those who teach the little kids classes. That's where the cream starts. They get them all excited. It's a lot of hard work to teach those classes. It takes a while for everybody to know to learn your Bible. When I first started preaching, I don't know if you noticed, I say the verses 3 to 5 times. I always do that, and people used to say, Paul, thanks so much for saying the verses so many times. It gives me a chance to turn there. That always bothered me when I first visited churches. The preacher would say, bring your Bible and study with us. They'd say, turn to Acts 2:38, and by the time I got there, he was on another verse. They never gave me a chance. But that's not the reason I was saying that 3 or 4 times. I couldn't find them. So Brother Cope told me, he said, Paul, see, I write my lessons out all the time like I do a letter. And I used to write all, even my Bible verses. And he said, Paul, if you get nervous, just read your notes. So I'd say, turn to Ephesians 4:12. That's Ephesians 4:12. That's Ephesians 4:12. Then Brother Cope said, after everybody stops moving, you better say something. So I'd be in Exodus, and I look over, and I read it in my notes. Nobody knew. But now I found him. It took me a while. I wanted the cream. It took me a few years to learn all the books. Now when I do vacation Bible school, I'm leading them. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Acts and the letter to the Rome. I can sing them now. I didn't used to. I wanted the cream. And for a local church to have the cream in Bible class, it's going to take teachers, but sometimes it'll take you a while. You're not going to be like someone who's taught 20 and 30 years, but you can grow into that. And if we want to see people brought to the Lord, it takes more than just the preachers and the elders and a few other people. Everybody. Somebody invites them. Somebody goes and says hello. I appreciate so much the members here, especially those a little older who are just out of your, you're just so friendly. You know, you go and shake hands with people and you talk to them. That's what you want, the cream. You can visit a church and know whether or not it has the cream, whether or not these people want to go to heaven. or they're just coming, taking up space. Go back to the farm now and go back to the cow. Remember, everybody loves cream, but no one wants to milk the cow. I've never met anybody who goes to church, as we would say, that doesn't want to have the cream of a home in heaven. I've never met anybody. But I know a lot of people want it, but they don't want to work hard for it. When the Golden Gate Bridge was being built, 30 people in the first couple years fell to their death. And then they spent $100,000. This is back in the early 1900s. $100,000. They put a safety net under the San Francisco Golden Gate Bridge, and only 2 people died. But what was interesting was 25% more work was done when they knew there was a safety net. And the Lord tells us, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That's our safety net. And he says to every one of us here tonight, do you want the cream? Do you want a good home life and a good job and all those kind of things in a physical way? Then you just work hard. Be the parent, the wife, the husband, the worker you should be. But spiritually, if you want that home in heaven, you want to say no to temptation, you can have it. And I'm with you. I'll never leave you. Heaven's a prepared place for prepared people. Heaven's going to be made up of people who wanted the cream and worked hard for it. If you've never been a hard worker for the Lord, you can start right now. You're not going to be handed the cream from the cow, and you're not going to be handed a well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into heaven if you haven't worked hard to the best of your ability. And it's never too late. It's never too late to start serving the Lord. If you're not a Christian, it takes some action. You have to study. You've got to ask some questions. Think about it. Now believe. And now you have to be baptized. You've got to make the confession. Yes, I believe Jesus Christ, Son of God. And now you're buried in the waters of baptism and you're raised to start your new life. That's some action. Now get out. And there's lots of things. You worship. And you talk about the Lord. And you try to be that individual who lets their light shine. That's some hard work. That's green. And if you've been doing that, but you stopped, and you've got back to being just lazy, and you're not providing even in a physical way, but most importantly, a spiritual way, then you need to do something about it. Tell the Lord you're sorry. Everybody wants the cream, but nobody wants to milk the cow. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but no one wants to work hard. If you're not a Christian today, won't you start today working hard? And if you're a child of God and you haven't been working hard, tell them you're sorry. But if you're a child of God and you've been working hard, keep working. Because one day, you're going to get that cream. And just like cream, strawberries are good, but it's a lot better when you have whipped cream on them. And your life might be good now, but wait until you put the cream of God's help in your life, and you'll see how great it is. And if we can help anybody in any way to get their life right, we'd love to do it right now while we stand and sing.